This podcast brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.
Hello, everyone. This is Paul Bertarelli reporting from Air Venture 2015 at Oshkosh, Wisconsin, where a company called ESP has been talking about its diesel engines, which have been under development really since about 2006. I'm here with Michael Fuchs of EPS. He's going to give us some information on this engine. Let's start with the engine configuration. Why did you go with this configuration? What is the configuration, and what are the advantages?
Hello, Paul. Thank you very much for having me here. Our product is an 8-cylinder flat V configuration. It's a liquid-cooled geared engine. It's we have basically chosen this design form to be able to retrofit aging fleets, but also go into new aircraft, since all the existing engine packages that are around in existing aircrafts are flat. It was basically for us a no-brainer to pick this concept, since it's going to ease our job doing STCs in the future. Our engine is basically designed to burn worldwide available fuels. So we're talking about diesel, Jet A, JP5, JP8 derivatives, whatever, or kerosene or heavy fuels in general. And we are basically shooting for a 3,000-hour TBO. We think we can achieve this by choosing an intelligent way of coming up what we call an advanced steel alloy core design. So we have a steel piston, we have a steel crankcase, we have a steel connecting rod, steel crankshaft. This gives you, if you dive a little bit deeper, quite some advantages in TBOs and clearances and all that stuff that cause wear. So from that perspective, I think it's the right way to choose this particular concept.
Do you consider this a clean sheet engine, or is it a derivative of other technology?
It's a clean sheet design. Of course, you should utilize existing technology that's out there, whether it's from automotive field or from the truck field. Nevertheless, if you would like to have a good solution for the aviation industry, you have to go clean sheet for various reasons. One of the reasons, as I mentioned, is the package environment you're going into, the flat arrangement. If you take a V8 from any automotive customer or automotive company, it's basically a V8 90 degree design or a V6 derivative thereof. Therefore, it's necessary to do this. You won't get there if you don't do a clean sheet design. The other thing is, in aviation, you're always poised with liability issues. You're always poised with the fact that you have low volumes. And if you don't control your own components, you may have issues sourcing them in the future. And this could lead into recertification, STCs, and so forth and so on. And we don't want to do this. We want to be in control of our product. We want to have a streamlined certification process. And therefore, we are doing it this way.
Now, you're looking at horsepower ranges 320 to 420, I think you said. So that means that these are going to be in larger, heavier aircraft. And despite size of the aircraft, weight is a consideration. How will these engines compare power to weight compared to existing gasoline?
That's a good question. If you do dry weight comparisons, of course, liquid cooled engines are looking always bad. Therefore, you have to do an apples to apples comparison. That means you have to take off the engine frame with the engine, take the propeller off, and weigh the whole installation. Then you've got baffling and some other utilities on the engine itself that are coming into account. And there we sit pretty good. If you take a TIO 550, 540, and they are slightly different in weight, but if you take them off a firewall of a Cirrus or so, they weigh around about 630 to 650 pounds. We think we will be coming in at around 677 pounds. That's projected. If it's even a little bit heavier, I think we are within the striking distance, especially since we are making up this extra weight and fuel consumption. That's going to be significant less.
And do you see this as primarily or initially a retrofit market?
No, we are shooting for both markets. That's also the reason why we went with our design concept. Of course, it's nice to have a launch customer, and we have identified one, but STCs are supplemental, and therefore you can basically manage your income stream. When you have higher new sales, you can look into the SCC market a little bit more relaxed. If you have lower basic sales, you can go stronger into the SCC markets. And there are a ton of aircrafts around that are prime candidates. And there are a ton of organizations around that need to utilize, let's say, a heavy fuel burning engine in the future in third world countries, in Asia, wherever they are flying. And I think our engine is going to be a perfect fit for these guys.
You said you had an OEM. Have you announced that OEM?
No, we have not, and we'll keep it basically. We won't disclose it at this point in time. We will do this probably next year.
And how are you funding this? What's the nature of the investment?
We are funding this through investors that are located in the United States and abroad. We have been going through three rounds on financing so far. From 2010 to 2014, we have negotiated and signed our fourth and last round of financing at this point in time. The funds are pledged, but they are not in the account yet. Therefore, we haven't made an initial announcement. But if or when this happens, EPS is going to be fully funded to bring this into production.
What kind of investment are we talking about here in terms of magnitude?
It's going to be roughly a $45 million project.
And does that bring you to a certified engine with a production certificate?
Yes, that's what we think so.
And how about in your briefing you mentioned that you have filed for an FAA certification plan. I assume then that you're preparing the details of that plan now?
Well, the plan has been already finalized. It's out at the FAA. We are halfway through the certification. We have passed some significant milestones such as state of acknowledgement. Point one, if it comes to the electronic management system. So we are fairly well ahead with the certification at this point.
And you've flown this airplane in an SR-22. How many test hours has it accumulated?
We haven't accumulated a ton of test hours in the SR-22. We have accumulated enough hours to get the initial flight data we wanted to get out of our concept engines. Please understand that we haven't extended this program significantly since the concept engines are a little bit more expensive to maintain, but we have gotten all the information we needed to demonstrate, first of all, the flight capabilities and some of the performance data. And at the moment, we are in the middle of changing over from the concept engines over to our pre-production engines, and we will resume flight testing with our service piloted by Dick in Mojave by the year end of 2015 this year.
And tell me about the timeline for the certification project and the timeline for initial production.
Okay. We believe that we will both achieve type certificate and production certificate in 2017. So we have to see how streamlined we can bring our development process forward. Things can happen that can delay stuff. So we will keep you posted how we will basically be progressing at this point in time.
Okay, Michael. Well, thank you very much for the briefing.
Thank you very much for having me.
This is Paul Bertarelli reporting from AirVenture 2015. Thanks for listening.
This podcast brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.